and welcome to another episode of the Retro Lovely Podcast. Today we are speaking with Bombshell Babs, the newest model featured in one of our special model edition publications, those which we featured just one model, all her work, just her, and they're also the sort of publications where we actually don't profit from them. We hand these over to the models, and any sales that they make, any proceeds that they get, this is for them. This is our way of saying thank you for some people that have become true partners with us over the years. And I'm especially excited about this today because, as it happens, I mean, I never anticipated this be the way it works, but when we do these special model editions, it's almost impossible for us to say we're going to do them monthly, because there are certain points through the year where we get so busy that it's almost impossible to do. So at times there's you know, gaps between when we did our last one till the next one comes out, and you know Bombshell Babs, you're the first after several months of not having anything going on, so it's kind of like the first time all over again. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome you to the program here and say hello and tell us a bit about what's going on for you today, and remind me, you are in, is it Connecticut?
I'm in Connecticut. Yes, I am.
And let me think here. Now that hasn't always been the case. Or, well, okay, let me put it this way. I've got a memory of the first time that I think we had you in Retro Lovely, or at least I know we had a cover issue with you. Mm-hmm. That was from Nashville Boogie. Now,
yeah.
Was that, did you live in Connecticut then and you happened to be at Nashville Boogie, or do I have a false memory that maybe you were living someplace else?
Oh, I've always lived in Connecticut.
Okay, so that's a false memory. All right.
Down to Nashville Boogie. That was actually the time I had ever gone to Nashville Boogie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a shoot while I'm out here, make it more fun. And I was so surprised that I got the cover. I actually got engaged and got a cover within the same week. It was the most intense.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was really nice.
And you were probably very proper and didn't tell your fiance, which was the most important thing, which was being on the cover, right? You
exactly.
You told them the proposal was the big news. So,
well, I kind of knew it was coming. So it's like, you know what, this doesn't mean run away.
Ours was more of a surprise. I get it.
Yes, it was a huge surprise.
What year was that Nashville Boogie?
I believe it was 2019.
Okay, because I was at one as well, but I think it was probably a year or two before that, and okay. I was amazed at was it the same place? Was it the Gaylord something or another?
Yes,
like the convention complex where it's like this island of hotels and spaces, and it's like this giant facility that you really have to work to get to. Like I think they built it purposely so that you don't leave.
You don't have to leave. Everything is right there, and it's lovely. And there's like a big, like gondola ride type things,
right. Yes,
and like a whole forest, like a rainforest.
It's the whole package. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So let's get to the basics. How did you get started with, well, because we have two things to talk about, because not only have you been in Retro Lovely as a model, but there is a ton of work of yours as a stylist. You work with one of our partner studios, Hellcat A Go-Go, up there. And he's you know, Johnny is a great dude. I mean, I visited him, I think it was 2 years ago, and we've always had exceptional rapport. And what I really appreciate is that in this business, you know, when it comes to taking photographs of women, guys tend to have it a little bit tougher, because there are some, you know, possible misconceptions as far as, like, you know, I hate to say it, but there are dudes who start taking pictures of girls just because they want to be around girls, right?
Yeah.
And Johnny is a consummate professional, and you know, he is so professional with this, and I'm sure it's one of those things where, for yourself, it's something that you not only appreciate but require. I had that immediate, we had that same, I don't want to say stigma, but as a photographer myself, I've had the same thing where sometimes it's a little tough because some women have a problem, you know, hiring a guy to take their photos, and I can't say that I blame them. And it's a shame because his work is so exceptional that they should just hire him and throw money at him and just not even worry about it. So hopefully with this, you talking about working with him, you know, that'll maybe be something that you guys can point to as far as new clients who aren't so sure. And I really hate to say it because there's, you know, there's definitely some people out there doing this, let's say professionally, who shouldn't be. And in the case of, you know, Hellcat and Go-Go Studios, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. So
Like the easiest person to work with.
You know, and I'll tell you what, I had a couple clients of my own who then went on to work with him and came back to me afterwards and said, you guys are almost like, kind of like, you remind us of each other. Like, you're almost like related. Like the way, your demeanor, your sense of humor, the laid back aspect of it. And before I ever met him, I had a lot of people that I knew and trusted tell me that, you know, he's a good dude. And, you know, when we finally met, it was like, yeah, I could totally see it. So let's actually pivot a little bit. We're going to go down that road of talking about you being a stylist and working with him on these shoots. Let's talk about how you got into pinup in the first place. What was the impetus? How did it all start?
Well, it started since I'm a hairstylist and makeup artist. I had met a photographer that was around here, and I, you know, said to her, if there's any work you know of, or if you need anybody, let me know. And she's like, I actually have a friend who needs somebody that looks like you. And I was like, oh, okay. And she ended up being one of my good friends too. She was doing a clothing company called Maymac Designs. She did a lot of lingerie and costumes. And she was doing kind of a lookbook of.
Right.
Yep. So I went to Vintage Girl Studio, who is also up here.
I've seen that name plenty, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Rhode Island. And I got to meet Tina, who works there, and Katie, who is Maymac Designs. And a couple other girls there, and we hit it off, and it was fun. It was just all the empowerment of women being around, being able to goof around, but also be feminine and beautiful. And it was really lovely. And it just really stuck with me for a long time.
Yep, exactly.
And then, I had a breakup with somebody who was not so great. I had bought us concert tickets. And when we broke up, I was like, you know what? I'm going to sell the tickets and I'm going to book a shoot to make myself like feel better, like get my confidence back.
Good deal. Good.
And I'm pretty sure I booked the shoot with Johnny.
Excellent. Excellent.
And it was just great. You know, it just really put me back in my spirits and helped me really come out of my shell a little bit better.
And I think that's the thing about this that is the icing on the cake. I mean, it's great. People get some great photos of themselves and everything else, but I think a lot of them don't even realize how all those things that you just mentioned, how that can like become part of the equation. And I know from my own experiences, I think it could become kind of addicting. Like, we had so many clients that like would come back and come back and come back that I felt almost like we should have a sign in the hall, like a casino does, you know, do you have a problem gambling? Right. Do you have a problem with pinup and you're doing all these photo shoots? Because it's such a feel good. And it's what's great about it too is there is no one type. Okay. It's not like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit, you know, issue of a magazine where they're 20 something and their percentage of body fat is like 0.5. It's all body types, all ages. It's inclusive. And everybody, they can all rock what they got. It's great.
Exactly.
So
it's just to, you know, own what you have and feel good about it.
Mm-hmm. And I'll give a lot of the community a lot of props in that there's a lot of support from strangers, right? I think that's the really intoxicating thing when a stranger gives you a compliment. Like I've been either at places or events and I get to run into like say a client that we used to have and their significant other is with them, and you know the husband, the girlfriend, whatever, they'll say, oh, I want to thank you so much because I've told her for years how beautiful she is and she just doesn't believe me. And I think it's the extension of most people to think, well, yeah, they love me, they're supposed to be supportive, right? But when it's a stranger, that's a different ballgame entirely. You know, they're not obligated to tell you how great you look.
Yeah.
And of course, that brings with it its own problems, because some people are just, you know, looking to grease your wheels to become your pal for whatever other thing they want to sell you, like an extended warranty on your car. So, I mean, there's always that. And that was something early on that we really kind of tried to instill upon our clients, is that, you know, when you do this, you want to create a persona and use a stage name. Don't have your personal information out there. Don't go by your actual name. Don't do things in such a way that people can find you, right? Don't do that, because
it's a little dicey.
Yeah, you don't want to invite problems.
By my you know, legal name, mm-hmm. and then I was like, no, I need a stage name. I need to put stuff, you know, back it up a little bit. And it's funny, when I go to some places, like car shows, I have to remember, when you go to the car show, you should mm-hmm. be using your PIP or introducing yourself.
Exactly.
And later on in life, if you need to tell them your legal name, that's fine. But mm-hmm. in the beginning, most people are going to know you by that stage name or that name that they see online. So you got to get used to hearing it and used to telling using people. It. Yep. And so it's really got to be something you like.
Well, you know, one thing that I think is interesting too, is there's been a trend where I'll see the same models using different names. Like, I've had different issues where it'll be the same model, but because they're shooting a different kind of content, they have a different mm-hmm. persona. And, you know, there are times where, like, let's say with Retro Lovely, when people are making submissions and a model has been in a dozen different issues, right? I will often mm-hmm. get an email, can I just give you blanket approval to approve my work? And then I don't have to fill out your release every time. And my answer is always no. Because I never know when you may want to change your name, your model name, exactly. Or a photographer is submitting some things that, I mean, how do you know automatically that what they submit you're going to like? Maybe they will over edit it, or they'll do something with it that when you actually see it, you'll be like, wait a minute, no. So every single mm-hmm. time, I need to know every single time, because you might want to do those things. So, and I get that too, because sometimes you have different themes that just maybe even it's just fun to have a different name for when you're doing a goth inspired thing, or if you're doing, you know, something that's more alternative, you know, different names mm-hmm. kind of make sense for that. But definitely always use an alias. In fact, I actually started using an alias myself as a photographer, because in the early days of the magazine, people used to try and get to me because they wanted something from the publication. And I found, as a photographer, I had to go into hiding. I had to use an alias, so that if I was contacted as the photographer with the name that they didn't associate with the magazine, I knew they weren't trying to come at me from a different angle because they wanted something. And so I am well familiar with aliases myself. And in later years, I had to explain that to people. No, I didn't do that to be devious. I just had to protect myself as well in a certain way.
Oh yeah, so. Totally.
All right. So sounds like, and you know, your actual origin story is mm-hmm. not all that uncommon. It's something sure. that we experience constantly, and I expect it to continue. But now let's get back to the different angle where, because you're a stylist, let's mm-hmm. let's talk about that. You're actually a licensed cosmetologist. How did you first get involved with that? Has that always been your primary goal, to become one?
I actually went to college for dance mm-hmm. and I ended up leaving. Didn't work out. And I was like, what else do I like to do? And I was like, I've always done hair and makeup, because growing up, being a competitive dancer, that's what you do. Well, you put on costumes, yeah, sure. Get on stage, do all that stuff. And I loved it. So I was like, you know what? Let's go to school. Let's do this. And I, you know, did it as quickly as I could. It was like, most people do it in a year and a half. I think I did it in 13 months.
Wow. Nice.
I was like, I want to get it done. I want to get a job. I want to do this. And I've been doing that for well over a decade.
Nice.
And it kind of led me into being around that kind of styling too. Right. Because you know, they got to teach you everything.
Well, you know,
so you learn curls and this and that. And
I'll tell you, that's an interesting segue right there, what you just said, because I could imagine a lot of, you know, modern contemporary schools for styling only really worrying about contemporary styles. Like the actual, you know, some of the stuff from bygone eras is probably like a lost art in a bit of a way, unless it was like the sort of thing where they're also like considering like if let's say the styling of sort of like media where there's a production of a movie or whatever, that they're doing something like a period piece. Because there's a lot of things that I see. Like, well, I was talking to somebody a couple months ago about victory rolls. And I said, I love a fantastic victory roll, right? I said, the problem is you have a lot of people who maybe they're getting started with it or even their self styling, and their victory rolls kind of look more like victory pancakes, right? There's something in there there's a technique and there's a skill to get those things to look as tight as they did in the best of the best from the 40s and the 50s. So I bet that there's just, other than like online tutorials from other people that have been doing it for the past, you know, couple of years since the renaissance of pinup has occurred, I'll bet most traditional schools are even sort of like vague at best with that sort of thing. Because even, you know, if you think about it, like a lot of times I think some of the classic styles, you still see them pop up in like wedding styling, but victory rolls, I can't imagine, other than somebody who's really into the pinup culture, requesting victory rolls for their wedding. So
You do get some. I mean, having more of those like curls happening, but doing more of those big rockabilly type victory rolls too. Yeah. You don't do that unless you're within the scene or you're within the culture. Mm-hmm. But they do, you know, teach you all of these past styles. I mean, you got to learn how to do pin curls. Well, you got to learn how to do pin waves.
That's a good school you went to. That was good teachers. Yeah. Yep.
That they, you know, they give you the basics. It's this one big book and they go off of it. And then you start to learn other things as you venture out. I picked up things throughout the years with working with different stylists, or, you know, getting my hair and makeup done by other people, seeing what they do and their little techniques, or just, you know, working alongside them, or looking at magazines or videos. You just kind of get used to it. And once you do it over and over, you kind of get a little bit better at it each time. And
The practicing of it. And thank God for videos. There's so much that has been captured and available to people on videos that I just think to like 20 years ago, this all didn't exist. I mean, it's a whole new world.
I mean, I can take a, you know, Carl Brown wig class if I want, but he's all the way in the UK. But by me being on a Zoom with him to take the class, I can learn a technique that I probably wouldn't have been able to.
Yes. That's all. I don't want to say that I think kids take for granted, but so much of this opportunity for knowledge is just like science fiction in a lot of ways to somebody as old as me. Because I'm like, I grew up in the 80s that you had to go to someplace and get a book. You know, you had to get a book and like look at it and hope that you were able to decipher it. You know, the difference of like reading about how something is done versus seeing somebody do it, it's just leaps and bounds better. And yeah, so that instructional stuff is fantastic. Now, that said, is that anything you've ever done yourself or considered? Have you ever done any like workshops, or have you ever tutored somebody else in any of this?
I have not done any workshops. I know when I'm doing hair and makeup at a shoot, sometimes I try and give girls little tips or, you know, helpful. They're always like, oh, I have so much trouble doing this. And I'm like, well, maybe if you tease it a little bit more, you get a little bit more of a cushion, you know,
right.
Or doing your wing liner. I'm like, open your eyes when you do it, and then you'll be able to see where that wing will end instead of doing it when it's closed. And then they're all off. Little things that I try to tell people when they're in my chair with me, you know?
And you know what? There's another good segue, because, and this is again why I said I was excited to be able to talk to you, since you're somebody that's, you know, been on a lot of shoots in a makeup and hair capacity. What are common things that you experience with your clients as far as common threads? Like, are there a lot of questions that you routinely hear as far as especially for somebody that's new? Think about people that you have for the first time in your chair and they're doing their first session. What sorts of things, what sorts of anxieties do they have? Because I think if we talk about it, maybe this will be something that people can listen to and say, oh yeah, that's, I can do this. This is not a problem. Is it that they're worried about their posing? Is it that they're worried about, what are the biggest things that you hear when somebody's in your chair?
So I definitely, you know, sometimes they're pretty like, whatever you think for my hair and makeup, or if they're having trouble with stuff. I would say most of the times their anxieties have to do with, do their clothes look okay? Or am I posing going to be fine? Like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. How do I go about doing it? You know, they get worried about and self-conscious about their shapewear, or this doesn't fit me as well as I think it does. Mm. And I'm like, you look good. Don't worry. That's what Photoshop's for, you know, but keeping them different things and places to go for stuff like that. I know that Johnny has a bunch of clothes and shoes and shapewear and stockings if people need them or they rip. And I always have safety pins and double stick tape for, you know, making sure nothing pops out.
Right, right.
It's kind of those kind of anxieties, the normal ones that we all have. It's how we look, how we feel.
Right, absolutely. Now, when you're working with Johnny and a client, how typically does the dynamic work as far as you do makeup and hair, the client, the model is ready for her session, and mm-hmm. they get started with the photography part of this. Are you on set as well during that process, or do you pretty much, are you locked away doing your thing, and then when you're done, you hand them over to Johnny? What's the dynamic there?
Well, so the dynamic that's really easy with Johnny is that when they're doing their hair and makeup, Johnny's usually in the room. His wife will come down and pop by and say hello, and then she usually goes to hang out with the cast or goes to work. But Johnny's there. We talk, hang out. You know, we see what they want or where they're headed in the direction of what they want to see. I normally stay on set. I stay with you the whole time. That Good. Way, if you have, you need help getting into your, you know, your outfit, you need a zipper, you need me to do a corset, or, you know, put your stockings together, or just help with different things. I help with posing for the girls, because, you know, sometimes Johnny's looking one way and right. he'll try to explain what he wants to see. And I'm like, give me 1 second, and I'll just go over and do it. And they're like, all right, I got this.
Right, yep.
So it's definitely helpful. If it's a group shoot, I don't normally have a ton of time to
exactly.
run over.
Right, right.
But when you book a private session, I am there from start to finish through the entire process.
And there's a great advantage to that, because you as the stylist, you're gonna catch things pretty quick. You're gonna see things and make a correction or help, like, especially if there's wardrobe changes. I mean, I've seen some people have amazing styling, and they do a wardrobe change and they destroy the amazing hair that they had, you know. So it's like, that's a great advantage to, like, a private session like that. Like, I used to love those. I mean, it makes it tougher on you as a stylist, because now you have more time that you're spending for the same fee. And I don't want to make this about money, but it is a consideration that a lot of people have to consider.
I do charge a little bit more for private sessions than doing a group shoot, because I am staying with you. I post coaching, I'm doing all of that stuff. Right. So I do charge a little bit more for that.
That makes sense. It's extremely fair. I mean, I don't think a lot of people really realize what the expenses of a session can be. Sadly, with so many people that do it like as a hobby and as a fun thing, I think it makes it tough to show the value. I think a lot of people get kind of like jaded as to why this costs as much as it does, when there's this thing I can go to and there's a bunch of photographers and they'll shoot me for nothing. So, you know, and honestly, and this is kind of like a kudos for you, a studio like Hellcat Agogo who uses professional and high caliber stylists, that's a big draw. That's a big part of the formula, right? Because like, I know myself, I've done work and I've had stylists who have pulled me down, right? I mean, I can do all the things. I can do all the right things. But if that styling isn't on, it's a fantastic photo of a mediocre look. So,
yep.
you know, what you guys are, what you guys do is extremely important. And I'm not trying to build you up and tell them that you want more money, but it's to say to a prospective client or to anybody listening, there's absolutely a difference between, you know, doing it as a hobby sort of thing and then hiring some consummate professionals who have been to this, who have done this hundreds and thousands of times. Big difference, oh, yeah. Now, with all of that, what are some of the most interesting things that you could say you've had occur with the various sessions? And I'm talking like scandalous, you know, rude breadzillas at a shoot. But any interesting stories as far as like coincidences, things that you didn't expect to happen that did, or literally people that you've met that have something in common with yourself and your life. What, you know, does anything stand out other than just the day to day?
I mean, because of where we are and the community that we're all a part of, a lot of us know each other. Okay. And it's such a small, tight-knit community. We all kind of are friends with each other, or know who knows this person and knows that person. We do get some that are new, and you know, it's all like, well, who do you know? Who have you met? And oh, I love that person. I know that person.
Right.
You know, you're going to go do this pageant, or I just had a client this past weekend who I hadn't been with her before, but Johnny had shot her before, and her and I are both going to Dead Man's Curve coming up at the end of the month.
See,
and I'm like, oh my God, I'll see you there. She's exactly. Like, I was so nervous, no one, and I'm like, I'll be there with you, no worries.
That's awesome.
You know,
that is so awesome.
It's to know that you kind of have this community of people that you know you're going to see and you know you're going to have fun with. So,
I think right there too. I think for people listening, models especially, I'm not saying that you have to be like this extrovert and tackle people and start to grill them and ask them who they are and where they're from and where they're going. But there is an advantage to talking to people. Even just casual conversation can often give you things that you wouldn't otherwise have, and sometimes lead to these common things, like going to an event and thinking, I'm not going to know anybody. And now you do, right? If you hadn't opened your mouth, you wouldn't know that. So
exactly.
That's good stuff. Now, from a networking standpoint, you're also a member of the New England chapter of the Luscious Ladies. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I am president of the New England chapter.
El Capitan. Very good. And how long ago did you join them? How long have you been involved with the group?
I have been involved with a group since 2017, so quite some time, feels like.
So you're like OG, okay, and okay, so was there a New England chapter before you got involved, or did that come to, because I know a lot of times what happens is there may be like a group in a particular area that draws from a bigger area, and then eventually when there's enough in let's say a particular spot, they'll become like a splinter group, or like one designated, one to get dedicated to a particular, you know, region versus a bigger region. How long had the New England chapter been in existence?
So the New England chapter has been in existence since 2017. I was one of the original members.
Excellent.
Myself and Allie Oops.
Okay.
Are the two original members from the start of the group, and we have since gotten a bunch of other ladies. We have about, there's five of us currently, and we live kind of all over New England, mostly Massachusetts and Connecticut, but okay. We cover a greater group because we're New England, so we have multiple states, unlike...
Right, sure, yeah.
There are multiple chapters within the one state, so...
Oh, yeah, you get into some cities in the country, and that's, the populations are so gigantic. There's, like, you know, L.A. Luscious Ladies of Madison Avenue, like, a particular street, you know. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it makes sense. From a geographical standpoint, I could see where sometimes that just is how it has to be. I mean, and some of those states up there are like small, like Rhode Island. I mean, that's not a big...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And even population-wise. I mean, it's still bigger than, like, Wyoming, but, it, you know, it's still not like a Texas or a Florida or, you know, some of these other places that are so big.
Oh, yeah. It takes, like, 6 hours to get to somebody else.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm the farthest south, and one of our other girls is about 2.5 hours north from me. which isn't too bad. We usually try to meet in the middle somewhere in Massachusetts to make it easy on everyone. But we try to go to all of the shows kind of within the New England area as much as possible.
And, you know, hats off to the organization in general, because as long as I've been around from like back in 2009, 2010, I've seen a lot of different groups come and go. I've seen a lot of different efforts, and I've seen, you know, some do okay and some crash and burn. Yeah. And as far as it goes, the Luscious Ladies are like Plymouth Rock, like they're just there. You know, it's it's really right.
Yeah. So there's so many of the groups and so many different areas. I mean, we even had some international at this point. I think we only have one international. We had two, but it's kind of nice to know that wherever you go, there's probably going to be somebody you can Facebook and be like, "Hey, I'm coming here. Are you around?"
Is there a secret handshake, or is there like sign, like gang signs that you do? Like make two L's, I mean, like with your hands.
Maybe we should.
like how Marines say "Semper Fi." Like you guys should have like a battle cry, or like a phrase that you like say to each other. You can sit with us. That's what you guys use. I've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
There you go. Excellent. So let's actually shift again a little bit. Let's talk specifically about your special edition. For those who are uninitiated, Retro Lovely for probably the last 2 years. Yeah, I think it's 2 years now. In fact, the very first special model edition model that we had, she just recently decided she's going to do another calendar again with us this year. And I said to her in an email, I'm like, "How many is this now?" And she's like, "Four." I'm like, "Wow, four." And way back when she, Miss Jenna Perz is her name, she got involved, you know, getting published by us a few times. And through time, there have been different things that I've done with models and artists where they can get, you know, merchandise at wholesale. And if they can market them and sell them and make some money, please, by all means. And I encourage it. It's one of the things that when we started back in 2010 and we're producing, you know, 5,000 copies at a time, you know, back then we were able to like give everybody a free copy and then offer them at like a really cheap wholesale. Like the magazines back then were 100 and some pages. They were the higher quality material and you could buy them wholesale for like $3 or $4. And nothing thrilled me more than being able to send a carton of them to somebody who's going to a show and can sign them and can make some money. And, you know, those days are gone because of social media and smartphones. I mean, even, you know, Oprah has given up on Playboy has given up on printing Playboy. And every time you turn around, there's another magazine that just has to fold up shop because the advertising dollars aren't there. And I even like was in hiatus for a while because it just seemed to me like, well, if I can't do it that way, why do it at all? And then I got kind of dragged back in. I don't say kicking and screaming, but they pulled me back in, to quote Michael Corleone from Godfather 3, and we relaunched. And while we couldn't do all those things that we did back then, I still wanted to have the capability to do some things differently that people could actually take advantage of it. And, you know, we did things with wholesale, and then we started the things with the calendars where people could get these calendars produced and make some money with them. And one of the first models who really took that ball and ran with it did so in such a way and did so with such success that I wanted to acknowledge it. And I said, can I offer to do for you a special model edition where it's just you, it's just your work, and I will do it on my time, no cost to you. I'll put it together, I'll promote it with you, but you get the files and you upload it to the printer's website and you buy and sell them. I don't have any that I can even access. Okay, this is yours and you make the money. And this is important to me, not because I'm trying to like make these models rich or anything, because that's certainly not the case. You're not going to buy a car with what we do with these things. Maybe pay a couple car payments, but not buy a car. But when you consider how much money model spent on getting their photo shoots and wardrobe and traveling to events and everything else, you have all this art that so many people enjoy freely online, and it's paid for mostly by these models. And this is like one of the only things that I know of where you have even a prayer of getting something back for it. And they're important to me because of that. Like, I wish I could do them a lot more, but it's a matter of time, and it's also a matter of motivation on the part of the various artists. Like, I have, there's no shortage of people who would just die to have a special model edition, but if they just want it because they want it and they're not going to do anything with it, I can't spend my time on that. So these are all about us doing something differently and doing something a cut above and sort of driving the car in a certain way that we can continue to do it. So these are very important for us, you know, in this regard. And, you know, this is a situation where it's us being able to say, thank you, Bombshell Babs, for your support. Thank you for being a good partner. And, you know, I think something that's equally important is that in this world today, there's a lot of like expectations. There's a lot of entitlement, and I get a lot of people that come at me with their hands out wanting things that there's absolutely no reason why I should be entertaining the idea. Okay. It is a two-way street, and there's a lot of takers, and, you know, from your standpoint, from where, you know, everything that I've experienced with you through the years, you haven't been one of those people. And that's something that like gets on our radar as much as anything. Like, you know, every day, like I had an email earlier today, somebody, I made a submission, I'd like a cover. And I actually replied back. I guarantee you, every single person that makes a submission wants a cover. So you're not telling me anything I don't know. Right. And it's like, how obvious is it all? So give me a reason that I should like even consider it. And the sad fact of the matter is, the funny thing about it is, I've had photographers contact me and say, I'm shooting this famous model. She's got a million followers online and we'd like to get the cover. And I'm like, well, did you do the shoot yet? No. So you're asking me to agree to running something as a cover that I haven't even seen yet. You could totally screw it up. And if I agree, my hands are tied that I'm going to have to use something that I wouldn't otherwise use. And then typically I'll say as well, you know, the thing of it is, those models that have massive followings online, 9 times out of 10, anytime that I ever had one of those on the cover of a magazine, did nothing. Like, they weren't especially good selling issues. Okay. They really don't move the needle for us when it comes to actual sales. So great that they're famous, you know, great that you're shooting with them. You can all have a party talking about how amazing you are. But at the end of the day, from where I sit, they really don't help us. It's a shame to say it that way. You know, occasionally it's nice to have a well-known celebrity on the cover of your magazine, but it really financially doesn't do a lot, you know? So it's one of those things where it's hard to get excited about somebody trying to convince me otherwise. So, you know, that is what it is. But for everybody listening, the issue that we have, it's Bombshell Babs Special Edition. Every single photograph was taken by Hellcat at Go-Go Studios. So this is an excellent opportunity to see a lot of Johnny Armios. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay. I always get self-conscious about pronouncing people's last names. And I know I had him teach me how to say it, but it's been like 2 years, so it's like, forgive me. Forgive me, Johnny.
Times two, and I'm like,
that one. So the thing of it is, it's a phenomenal collection of Johnny's work, and I gotta assume you did most of your own hairstyling in this. Is that correct?
Most of them, I would say. There was a few older ones where I had someone else do hair and makeup.
But by and large, you can see Bombshell Babs' work on herself, and it's a great collection to really see the diversity. There's a lot of, you know, variation. There's a lot of different, you know, looks and styles. And the more important thing is, for the people listening who are so inclined, okay, please reach out to Babs and buy a copy. Okay, again, she keeps every penny of this, and I guarantee you, even if it was smashingly successful, if it was as good as the best ones we've ever done, it'll be a fraction of what she has spent on wardrobe and travel and shoots to create those same images. So if you love that art and you want to pitch in, this is a great way to do it. Now, we typically will you know, ask the models to make them available autographed. And I've lost track as far as, are you able to do that? Are you able to actually make them available to people that way? Like actually signed, personalized?
So I was trying to do more of the signed ones. So I'm going to be at some local shows around here to be able to sign them. I've got myself some copies to be able to bring. I will be bringing some Fans Curve with me if anyone's there.
Excellent.
And then I was trying to see if I could set up a store to be able to get those signed copies out.
Got it. Well, you know, another thing too to consider is like if you have a PayPal account, you can set up like a PayPal button real easy to give to somebody mm-hmm. that would be for the purchase. The only thing that I would suggest is just as you're aware as far as using like a pseudonym as an alias for your model name, you really also don't want people to have your home address. So the one thing that I kind of like, in fact, I've offered this in the past, and you can do this if you want to. Any model that does any kind of like merchandising and marketing, and they're mailing something to somebody, if getting a PO box doesn't make sense, if it's too prohibitive or expensive for a couple months or a year that you're really going to hit this hard, you can use one for the magazine. You can use the address that we use for the magazine. And if some creepy dude decides to show up looking for Bombshell Babs, he's going to find me. And we're going to have a talk. So, you know,
that's... That'd be pretty interesting. You should film.
that's an offer you can use. And, you know, for models, if you do anything, if it's with us, with any of the things that we offer, or if you're doing it yourself, don't give people your address. Don't, you know, just you want privacy, okay? You know, mm-hmm. this is not your full-time persona. You want to be able to like step away from it and avoid problems. So don't let them have any more of your personal information than they need to. And sometimes I remember somebody, I heard a story from a friend of mine. She was a model and she had one of those fans. She had somebody that became kind of like a problem. And he actually sort of like, I won't say he was like a professional con person, but he started to like really analyze her posts. And when she was physically someplace out in public doing like a selfie in front of a restaurant, he started to piece together where she was spending most of her time and realized, oh, she lives in this town because I see that restaurant. I see this store. I see that coffee shop. I see that car dealer. And he was able to actually locate her based on just little breadcrumbs. So you want to be careful with that stuff because desperate people can be very creative and very crafty.
Oh yeah, it's so easy to be able to do that stuff nowadays. It's so scary.
Big time. It's almost like how can anybody have any kind of privacy anymore? Because it's really like so much is out there, right? Yeah. But so we're going to have information on the webpage with the podcast as far as how you can reach out to Babs and get a copy of this thing. And you should absolutely get a couple. You should gift them to other people. Okay. Buy five. It's more fun. And we want you to support her. And are there any things in specific that we might not have touched upon in this roughly 45 minutes, 50 minutes? See, it's getting close to an hour again. We talked earlier about not getting too crazy because some of these podcasts tend to be long and we know you all have short attention spans, and I was trying to keep it down to like about a half an hour, so we overshot. Kind of keep it bite-sized. Is there anything that we didn't discuss that you'd like to? Are there any other tidbits or things that you'd like to get out there for these people?
I just would say, if you're thinking of doing a photo shoot, do it. Put yourself out there. I know sometimes it can be a little expensive, but it's worth it, and it will end up being an expensive hobby, but you'll enjoy it. And having those pictures for yourself, even if you do it once, you'll have them.
Exactly right. Well, listen, this is awesome. I'm grateful that we took the time today. I'm grateful that we stuck it out because we started to talk about this months and months and months ago. Literally the last time I had a lull. Like it might be approaching a year. I should go back to my notes and see when we first started to talk about this.
We can talk about it for a while, but life gets in the way for us all.
Right. Yeah. So, but here we are. Here we are finally, and I'm grateful for it. But I want to thank you very much for your support and for your time. And we appreciate you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys and everything that you've done and being able to, get all this pictures and everything out for these people. And you make it so easy to be able to put everything, being able to submit this magazine. It's really great.
I appreciate that. I know that, you know, a couple days ago, I was talking to somebody, I was catching up, and they said, so what are you doing these days? I said, well, I actually publish the most loved and the most hated magazine for pinup there is. And they said, what do you mean the most hated? I said, well, I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people love it, but I said, I'll bet you money there's just as many that are mad at us for some of the decisions that we make. You know, there's always people who are butthurt about something. So, I think the big thing for me in the past couple of years has been coming to terms with the fact that that's how it is, and I can't really do much about it. Because in the old days, I used to get really like disappointed and worked up and sad about not pleasing everybody, and you just can't do it. And if nothing else from this interview, take that as well. Don't try and please everybody. Do something for yourself. Like if you do these photo shoots, do it for you. Don't worry about some guy or some girl or whatever. Don't worry about other people. Do what you need to do for you. So
exactly.
And you've been doing it, which is great. So I won't take any more of your time, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Yes, of course. Awesome. Thank you so much.